This edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles is sponsored by Diamond Disc Audio, professional mastering at any budget, and Capacity Productions, the number one source for online promotions.
Diamond Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top-quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at capacityproductions.net. You're listening to rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush. Exclusively at rockwired.com. Hey, kid. Today, Rockwired Profiles gives it up for Sophie B. Hawkins, star of the new musical Room 105, The Highs and Lows of Janis Joplin. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is sponsored by Diamond Disc Audio, professional mastering at any budget, and Capacity Productions, the number one source for online promotions. Please stand by. Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And in anticipation for the April edition of Rockwired magazine, which will be celebrating women in rock, I'm pleased to present to you a new musical called Room 105, The Highs and Lows of Janis Joplin. This touring musical is written by playwright Gigi Gaston and produced by Tommy Thompson and Colleen Camp, and stars alt-pop singer Sophie B. Hawkins as the ghost of Janis Joplin. If you happen to be in the Albuquerque area, my very own stomping grounds, the play will be coming to the Legends Theater at Route 66 Hotel and Casino. The exact address plus ticket information is provided at the bottom of this page. Rockwired had a chance to speak with the star of the musical, Sophie B. Hawkins, and you'll hear that interview in just a few minutes. But first, here is Sophie B. Hawkins in a performance from Room 105. Here she is with Peace of My Heart.
Come on, come on, come on,
From the musical Room 105, the highs and lows of Janis Joplin, that was Sophie B. Hawkins with Piece of My Heart. For more information on the musical, check out the website www.room105musical.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Sophie B. Hawkins regarding the production, and this is what she had to say.
Oh, okay.
This is our second date, and that's kind of what's so special about it. The first date in New Jersey was sold out and standing ovation, honestly, before the even curtain closed. But what's great about it is it's so difficult because it's a tour, and because it's just beginning and it's so raw, and it's so much hard work, and nobody has a clue how to really tour it. I think that the why New Jersey was special was why it was so special when we did it in the Maca in L.A. was it's so raw. And no one's figured out how to really make it into this supersonic commercial branded thing yet. So it's really raw and beautiful and truthful, and it moves people to tears. And tears of joy, actually, because it's very hopeful and redemptive, and it gives the story of Janis a whole nother way to look at her and see her as a healer and a real communicator of ideas that are so broad and so big, but that she was before her time. It's so cool.
I mean, you playing the ghost of Janis in this piece, I mean, talk about how easy or difficult it is to get into that space and, you know,
really
speak
hard
for the dead as in a sense.
Well, it's really, the one thing is that it's hard to be her ghost because I have to cover every angle of her. And when I was studying for the role, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, I pretended I was Janis at 9 years old, listening to the blues singer she listened to, Lead Belly and Big Mama Thornton, and I learned them as she would have learned them, and it's taken me 2 years just musically, alone in my studio, to understand where she was coming from. And you know what, she taught me. She's like, it was like a master class. So on the musical side, I put myself in her as a child and then grew up with her. Because I read all the biographies, and I read all her letters, and I read who she was listening to when, and so I said, okay, I'm Janis, and so I learned it that way. And then, but as a spirit, I have to interpret what she would be saying now. What would mean something to her? What would not mean anything to her? And when you're a spirit, you know, you don't take everything on. You pick and choose what's important and what you think is funny, you know, because this role has a lot of room for improvisation, you know, because a lot of things go wrong, you know, on stage. I mean, just there's always things going wrong, and especially when you're touring and it's the first couple of dates and you're just trying to hold it all together. So there's a lot of opportunity to really investigate in the moment what it really would be like if her ghost was in me. And so in the moment, what I'm trying to say is it's so intense, and it's so draining afterwards because I feel as though I really am channeling her. I really feel it's true. There's no question to me that that's what's going on. But then when you get off, of course, you have to let that all go, but it's really impossible.
I can only imagine. And the title of the piece, Room 105, I mean, I've got my suspicions about what it is, but tell our listeners what it is.
Oh, there's a great line towards the end where she's walking into Room 105 with the guy who actually was the last person who saw her, the guy who sold her cigarettes at the desk. And he's helping her with her keys and her beer, and she's coming up and, you know, he says, what room is it? And she says, Room 105, my favorite. My lucky room, I could stay here forever. See, she really was connected to this room. It was her favorite room, and she decorated it. And she had no idea she was going to die that night. She had not a clue. So that moment when it happens, and it happens on stage, her mother comes to her. And something happens between them that is so healing. And I guess I've almost said too much. But so the Room 105, it is the place where everyone says, oh, she died. And people go and they stay there sometimes. But for the person who wrote the play, and for me on stage, it's a place where actually I resolve so many deep, painful things in my life. And I moved to another place.
And talk about what drew you to this role.
Well, I couldn't say no because Gigi Gaffin, the writer, said you were going to play Janice. And I said, hell yes. And I should have said hell no because I had no clue how hard the acting would be. I thought the singing was going to be the hard part. And that's why I started, of course, with the music because that's who she was. But then when we started rehearsing it, I said, why did I say I would do this? This is so excruciating. But that's good. I needed to climb Mount Everest in my life right now. And when Gigi said, you're playing Janice, I said, okay, this is the Mount Everest. I have to do this. So it's so different for me. Gigi, people have said that I'm like Janice, and the reviews have said that I am Janice, or this or that. And I can't tell you how different I am than Janice in my life and in my in my habits. In the way that I handle things, I handle them the opposite of her. So what an education this has been, to step into her shoes, or to try to step into her shoes.
And has your singing changed, you know, in stepping into this character? I mean,
right.
You know, that's a pretty signature sound.
You're right, and I thought when I said yes, I said, why did I say yes? Because at first I thought I'll never be able to sing like Janice. I don't even have a range. And then guess what? That, my voice has grown. It grows every show. I have become a real singer because of Janice. That's why I said it was a master class. She has taught me, and I'm so glad that I started with Lead Belly and Bessie Smith and Big Mama Thornton and Odetta. I'm so glad I did it that way, because then when I got to Janice, I said to Gigi, can't I play Bessie Smith? This is way too hard, because those other people were so fun to learn. They were so, you know, they were just so sensuous, and the rhythm, and I could cop that, and I felt like I can do that. Then when I got to Janice, I said, I can't do this, and I was so terrified, but I handle it by just saying, like an athlete, like, I've got to do this. It's like somebody who can only run the 50-yard dash who's going to suddenly run a marathon, and that's, you have to do it, and you have to train and train and train, and I did. I've trained and trained and trained, and I'm so excited because not only do I feel that I have copped Janice's essence, I feel like I can do things that Janice wanted to do, because she said in interviews, I yell all the time. I really wish I could be more subtle. I really wish I could sing softly. I wish I could color things a little more dynamically, subtly. So, you know, I said to Gigi, do you mind if I go where she said she wanted to go? Because that's something that Sophie Moore would do. But so I do it in her style. So I take the liberty to go where I think Janice would have gone. And that goes back to my first comment about being her spirit, is I can take the liberty to go where I think she may have gone. Because I'm not just telling history. She is right here now.
Has any of Janice's family seen this production?
I don't think so, but I think they would really love it. Because the one thing in a lot of interviews when she was younger, because young people always do this, and I did it too, and I regretted it. You know, you put down your family. You put down where you came from. But then as she was starting to get off drugs, you can really see that she tremendously loved her family. And where she came from was a very special place, and it contributed to who she was. And I think she really loved her mother, and she really loved her father. And I've written some original songs that they've yet to put them in, although people seem to really love them. Some original songs that are more autobiographical as Janice, like The Saturday Night Swindle. I wrote about her and her father and things. So I think that this show treats her family with humor and love, and it sort of can acknowledge where the tough times were, because there's some great scenes with her and her mother when she's young. But then at the end, it wraps it up with such deep love and that moment where your mother gives you what you really wanted, and she is able to be a child with her mother and safe and cry. It's so beautiful. I mean, it's something that even people don't get in real life, you know.
Right.
For more information on the musical, check out the official website, room105musical.com. Here is Sophie B. Hawkins with another performance from Room 105. This is Don't Need.
I don't need you to make me feel like a lonely kid. kitchen and cry, and underneath my words search my love for you. I reached out my hands for your daddy, and you just turned your cool blue mind away. It's my birthday and I don't get no well wishes, just a little that you got some rent you think I
You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to announce the rockwired.com Artist of the Month, Donna Destry, and her collaboration with Costume on their EP, Empire State Neon. Known for her angelic backing vocals for the legendary pop band Blondie, Destry takes center stage with her one-of-a-kind delivery and hypnotic musical backing. With a little help from producer Stephen Jones, Destry is turning the world of electronica on its ear, and Sugar Me, the first release from Empire State Neon, is just one little taste of the excitement. Empire State Neon from Costume, featuring Donna Destry. Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Check out Donna Destry at Facebook.com.
Diamond Disc Audio is a full-service multimedia company specializing in audio mastering services as well as mixing, CD and DVD duplication, video editing and authoring, graphic design, web design, and lots more. Let us help you put those finishing touches on your final mixes in the all-important mastering stage. Don't you want your project to be the equivalent to major label releases when it comes to volume, EQ, and compression? That's where we come in. We are dedicated to providing top-quality creative services and affordable prices to indie artists and music companies. Based in Nashville, we have many major credits and have worked on thousands of indie projects over the last 16 years. Visit our website now at www.diamonddiscaudio.com.
Get famous with a little help from Capacity Productions, a specialized service getting you more likes, followers, fans, and clients on all social networking sites. Capacity Productions is the number one source for online promotions with over 15 years experience. So what are you waiting for? Get famous with Capacity Productions. Check us out at capacityproductions.net. Passionate, fearless, innovative. Gorgeous Media is an award-winning firm specializing in artist development, branding, creative consultation, event planning, music supervision, publicity, and talent management for all areas of the entertainment industry, from music, film, fashion, theater, and art. To schedule a free consultation, email us at info@gorgeousmediagroup.com or call us at 323-782-9000. That number again is 323-782-9000. Without a doubt, the future is looking gorgeous. Visit us at gorgeousmediagroup.com. Save your neck, save your data, and most importantly, save your money. Computer viruses are a fact of life, but Dr. Dan's makes viruses history with a $35 virus removal. Most computers are repaired in 24 hours, so you can get on with your business and get on with your life. Dr. Dan's Computers, located at 4405 Cutler Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-881-8851 or visit us at drdanscomputers.com. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for the new musical Room 105, The Highs and Lows of Janis Joplin by playwright Gigi Gaston and starring alt-pop artist Sophie B. Hawkins. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Sophie regarding the production and her role as the legendary Joplin, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And in your own past, when did you first become, when were you first aware of Janis?
Oh my God, I can tell you the day. I was in a friend of mine's apartment in New York City on the Upper West Side on 91st Street, and Donna Insilaco, and she put on Big Brother and the Holding Company, Cheap Thrills, and I was a drummer. I was wanting to be a drummer then. I was, probably 18 or 17 or 18. And I said, I've got to learn all this music. This is amazing. And I never dreamed I would be a singer or a songwriter. I just wanted to play behind Janis. So I borrowed the record and practiced and practiced and played with Big Brother. And it was really awesome to me to learn that people didn't respect Big Brother at the time the way they should have. Because when I first heard them as a teenager, I thought they were incredible. And now I think people have come to believe that they were incredible.
Right.
Whereas they went through a lot of years of being chastised for not being good musicians, which is such bullshit. Because they didn't want to be good musicians. They wanted to be artists. And that's the thing that this show brings out about Janis, where she was interested in finding a new music, and she did. She wasn't just doing her version of Bessie, or she wasn't just trying to show off and sing the highest and the loudest and the most growliest. She was actually making a new sound based on James Gurley, I believe, from studying her. She was copying James Gurley's guitar. And I don't know, because I don't know every singer, but it doesn't seem to me that anyone had really done that before her. When she does those seventh notes and she bends them up, and you go, she's coming in like a guitar player. She's not coming in like a singer or a horn player or anything. She's doing what was new then, and the guitars had just started being amplified, and that's what her voice sounds like. She's competing with the amplifiers, and she figured out how to do that. It's incredible.
Before this play, I mean, had you ever done any acting before?
Yes, I did. I loved acting when I was in New York City. You know, I'm a New Yorker, born and bred. And at a certain point, I went from drumming to marimba and vibes, and then at a certain point, I got a great gig as a drummer, and I practiced all the time, and I got fired from that gig, and then I said, okay, I'm just going to write songs, because that's what I secretly love to do. Okay, so at that point, when I started writing songs, And I think I wrote some very interesting songs. I said to myself, Sophie, you've got to go act because you haven't had enough life experience to write really great songs like David Bowie or something. So I went to acting class in order to play other people who had more experience than me, you know, to play great roles of interesting people because I thought I was just a boring kid who had nothing to say. That's why I started acting. And then, of course, I fell in love with acting because, again, it's so challenging. It's so difficult. And now, so then I got a record deal, and I didn't know where life was going to take me, but always songwriting was my greatest commitment. Then I got a record deal, and then I became Sophie B. Hawkins and all that jazz. So now coming back to acting, I realize how. It's full circle, basically. I love it so much because it's so difficult. And I go to acting class every week, even especially when I don't want to go. And I never want to go because it's so hard. And I'm tackling really big roles because I feel in order to stay in shape for Janice, I have to do The Cat on the Hot Tin Roof and Mary Queen of Scots. I'm really working very hard at acting. But I wouldn't say working hard at acting is the right way to say it because it's a whole other discipline.
Right.
And I'm putting myself there. I'm making myself just do it. And I'm growing very much. And I'm committed to it.
And from the play, what performances, musical performances, stand out for you the most and why?
When we're doing it, well, Little Girl Blue, that's in a moment in the play before, it's the turning point. It's when it goes from light. And then there's so much darkness around her, and she's just going to make sense of it through Little Girl Blue. And she acknowledges herself and herself as a child. And that's when she really becomes something other than just a reactive, funny, cute superstar. You know, there's moments before that when she's so real. But Little Girl Blue, she acknowledges that she's never, ever going to get what she wants. That there's no amount of... no, an audience member, there's nothing in the world that can fill her up. And that was a very mature moment for her. And it's a turning point, and it's the beginning of the end, and even though she doesn't know it. So I like that song because there's such a chance to reach out to be big Janice and reach out to small Janice. Because in the play, it keeps going back and forth. I'm young Janice, I'm old Janice, I'm spirit of Janice. And it's really flawless, actually, the way the writer wrote it. And people have commented, how do you do that? And I go, well, the writing is so good. It just does it for me, really. But then Little Girl Blue, I get to be all of them, but really be big Janice talking to the other Janice who's so hurt and acknowledging and not laughing it off. It's a beautiful moment.
And what do you hope people come away with after they see this performance?
I hope people come away with... and I do see this in people. When they stand up, it's not to say that I've done a good job. I think they're standing up because they feel their own human self is heroic. And it's so deep because no matter, even though Janice didn't make it physically in life, she died by accident or half on purpose or who really knows, there's that heroic quality of hers comes out in the humor and in her striving and striving and striving and never letting go of the moment. She kept holding on, even to the moment she died, holding on to the moment. And I feel when people stand up, they're standing up for themselves. And it gives me chills right now. I can start crying because when I see people stand up, they do it in this beautiful, slow way that they're acknowledging something in themselves because we all have a Janice in us. We really do. And we all have the part of us that actually doesn't even make it. The part that you go, I buried that part of myself. I was too sensitive. I couldn't handle it. Or whatever. And then sometimes you can try and unbury it or have a rebirth or whatever. But, you know, the vulnerability of us, the vulnerability and to acknowledge how much courage it takes to even be fresh and to be in love or to get through something. We never acknowledge it in life. We just push ourselves through in one way or another. But if we really did see how amazing we are, that's what I feel I want people to walk away with. And that's the kinship with Janice, because, you know, Janice said, I want to make people happy because people are so sad. She really just wanted to make people happy, and in that deep way. And you can only really be happy if you are at peace with yourself in a moment and love yourself or like yourself, really like yourself, and you can have that moment of happiness. It's private. I feel Janice wanted to tap into that and say, I'm like you. I know how ugly you feel or out of it you feel or how put down you feel or, you know, and even though that sounds heavy, she was really trying to say, and it's cool. It's actually great that you feel those ways. Make something out of it, even in just your own littlest way.
For more information on the musical, check out the official website, www.room105musical.com. Here is Sophie B. Hawkins with another performance from Room 105. This is Cry Baby.
Baby, cry. I wanted to let it all out for me.
That's going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Sophie B. Hawkins for her time in her music, and to Dana Forrester of Oral Pleasure Music. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rock.